Performance of George Crumb's Vox Villainy brings to end this morning's morning concert from the Edinburgh International Festival. Hope you can join me, Jamie McDougall, tomorrow, same time, in the company of the Arditti Quartet. But for now, it's time to hand back to Broadcasting House.
And that was Jamie McDougall in Edinburgh. This is BBC Radio 3, 90 to 93 FM, on digital radio and online. It's 1 o'clock, and with the latest BBC news, here's Katrina Young.
The United Nations says its weapons inspectors in Syria have come under fire while on their way to the scene of last week's suspected chemical weapons attack in Damascus. Hundreds of people are believed to have died in the attack. The UN says the convoy turned back after unidentified snipers shot at the lead vehicle, although there are no reports of injuries. The team's expected to return to the area later. Here, the Foreign Secretary William Hague has insisted that any military action against the Assad regime wouldn't need the blessing of the UN Security Council. David Cameron has cut short his holiday in Cornwall and is returning to Downing Street because of the crisis in Syria. The Afghan President Hamid Karzai and the Pakistani Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif have held talks in Islamabad aimed at reviving the Afghan peace process with the Taliban. Mr. Karzai said afterwards that he'd urged his host to work with him to fight militant extremism. The bodies of three of the four oil workers who died when their helicopter ditched in the North Sea on Friday have been brought back to the mainland. It's thought the wreckage of the Super Puma aircraft will be returned to Aberdeen later so it can be examined by investigators. Representatives from the North Sea oil industry are meeting today to discuss the impact of grounding Super Pumas. The prosecuting lawyers in the trial of the former leading Chinese politician Bo Xilai have said he should be shown no leniency. In his closing statement as the trial ended, Mr. Bo denied charges of corruption or abuse of power. The judge said the verdict would be given at a later date. There's been a call from the chairman of the England and Wales Cricket Board for a change in the rules on bad light after umpires brought yesterday's fifth Ashes test to a premature end. With England needing 21 from 24 balls for victory, the umpires decreed it was too dark to continue. Giles Clark said the way the game finished was totally unsatisfactory. And the weather, it'll be a largely dry and warm afternoon with a chance of isolated showers across southern England. Cloud and rain will spread into northwestern Scotland by this evening, but it'll be largely dry with some fog patches elsewhere. And that's the BBC News and Weather.
Katrina Young. And now at 3 minutes past one, it's time for Proms Chamber Music, live from Cadogan Hall in London. It's presented by Petroc Trelawney.
Hello. Today we welcome to the stage five Radio 3 New Generation artists, the pianist Christian Ila Hadland and the Signum Quartet. Later they're going to join together to perform Brahms' F minor piano quintet, but we begin with a string quartet by Elizabeth McConkie. Born in England and raised in isolated rural Ireland, she was hungry to discover the latest developments in new music when she enrolled as a student at the Royal College in 1923, soon devouring works by Berg, Bartók, and Janáček. She soon met Ray Vaughan Williams, who became her teacher. Meeting him, she said, was like turning on a light. Elizabeth McConkie has been described as the greatest ever English composer for strings, and the string quartet was a medium in which she was particularly happy. She wrote 13 quartets over her 87-year-long life. For her, the quartet was the perfect way to sum up musical ideas. She said the bad things show up: thinness of material, weakness of form, poor workmanship, but so do the good things: strength of ideas, masterly craftsmanship, resourceful string writing. In 1989, Dame Elizabeth, as she was by then, wrote this about the quartet: the pursuit of the argument, its shaping into satisfying musical form, the cut and thrust of the counterpoint, these all stimulate the imagination and stretch the intellect. There lies the perpetual challenge of writing a string quartet. It requires the instinct, concentration, and skill of writing a sonnet with the excitement of driving a four in hand. Well, we're going to hear her third quartet, one continuously unfolding movement, just over 10 minutes long, written in 1938 for the New Hungarian Quartet, who gave it its premiere in London that year. Please welcome to the Proms the Signum Quartet. Elizabeth McConkie's third string quartet receiving its first performance at the Proms this afternoon. Her Proms debut was back in 1930 when a suite called The Land was performed. It got much acclaim and launched her professional career. The quartet played for us by the Signum Quartet, Kirsten Dill and Annette Walter violins, Zandi van Dijk viola and Thomas Schmitz cello, the German-based ensemble members of Radio 3's New Generation Artist Scheme, now in its 15th year and still bringing the best of emerging British and international classical and jazz talent to the airwaves and to the nation's concert halls. Well, another member of the scheme is the Norwegian pianist Christian Ila Hadland. Please welcome him to the stage and welcome back the Signum Quartet. quick word with Zandi first of all. Elizabeth McConkie's Third Quartet was a piece new to you.
Yes, we were asked to lend it by the BBC for this, and we're actually very glad that we did. It's a lovely piece, and I think it makes a very, very lovely addition to our repertoire. I think it's something that can be programmed very well and also listened to very well.
Now, one of the joys of the New Generation Artist Scheme is that it brings members together. This, Christian, is the first time you and the Signum Quartet have collaborated.
Yes, that's true.
Has it been a happy meeting?
Oh, yes, a great pleasure.
You would say that.
Well, no, I would probably, if it wasn't a happy meeting, put my words slightly differently, but still in a polite way. But no, it has been a massive enjoyment, absolutely.
You're going to play for us next Brahms Piano Quintet, which had rather a complicated journey to the form in which we hear it today.
Yes, as very often was the case with Brahms, he made several different versions of each work, and this one started out first as a string quintet, which he burned, unfortunately. But this was also very usual for Brahms. I mean, according to rumors, he also burned 20 of his string quartets, which we will never hear then, of course. Well, it started first out as a string quintet, and then a sonata for two pianos, which still exists, and which, in my opinion, is not... I mean, when you hear this version, it loses something. And I think still it's sad that we don't have the string quintet version. But then a year after, and this was now in 1864, when he was 31 years old, he made this final version. And it's hard to imagine it written for anything else, as I said.
It's easy to call it a masterwork, but that's perhaps rather a lazy description of it. Why is it such a great piece, Sandy?
I think it covers so many bases, to put it maybe a bit cheaply, but it covers such a broad spectrum of human emotion, just from the yearning, and then there's aggression, and there's just complete letting go at the end of the slow movement is one of the most nostalgic, reminiscent pieces of music I know.
Filled with vast amounts of drama, Christian, how does it bring together the string quartet and the pianist? What is the relationship between the two of you?
You mean in this piece or in general?
In this piece.
Well, what's interesting to play in a piano quintet is that you have to switch between, you know, three different ways of playing. Foreground, background, or, you know, just melting in with the strings. And with Brahms, you have to adjust like this all the time. Because, I mean, he never keeps you in one position for very long, but this is also the beautiful part of it. You can be partly accompanist, partly, I mean, not soloist, of course, but in the foreground, or you can also, if the sound of a piano and strings can actually be combined, and you know, this is always the question, even this is a very popular combination of instruments, to try to melt in with the four other players. And sometimes you also have the feeling that the piano is fighting a little bit against the strings and trying to, you know, mark its place and just get through, basically.
We'll send you to your respective positions at keyboard and with your fellow string players. Yes, the battle will commence. Thank you both very much indeed. To perform Brahms' F minor string quintet, piano and string quintet, Christian Ila Hadland and the Signum Quartet.
Thank you. Thank you. Brahms writing in the early 1860s, his piano quintet in F minor, played by Christian Ila Hadland and the Signum Quartet. All Radio 3 New Generation artists. Hadland, born in Stavanger. He'll be back at the Proms next Tuesday to perform Beethoven's second piano concerto with the Oslo Philharmonic. The Signum Quartet, based in Germany, Kirsten Dill, Annette Walter, violins, Sandy van Dijk, viola, and Thomas Schmitz, cello. For the last of this season's Proms Monday Chamber Concerts, next week we mark the 450th anniversary of John Dowland's birth with a concert of his music performed by Fretwork, the lutenist Elizabeth Kenny, and the tenor Ian Bostridge. But now, with the Signum Quartet and Christian Ila Hadland back on stage, taking another bow, farewell for now from Cadogan Hall.
Thanks to Petroc Trelawney at Cadogan Hall, and that Proms Chamber Music Concert will be available to watch on the Proms website from midday tomorrow. Well, back to today, and at 4:30 we go live to the Royal Albert Hall to hear Richard Hills giving a concert of light music in this year's Organ Prom. Now, though, for the latest of our Proms repeats, and it's the London Symphony Orchestra's concert from last Tuesday evening. It was presented by Sarah Moore-Peach.
Welcome to the Royal Albert Hall, where the London Symphony Orchestra, one of the UK's finest, are making their way on stage right now. Tonight, under the baton of their principal guest conductor, Daniel Harding, they are paying tribute to the late great conductor, Sir Colin Davis, who was meant to be conducting this prom and who very sadly died in April, leaving a huge loss in the music world. The whole concert is a tribute to him. Tenor Ian Bostridge, who's singing Britain shortly in the concert, paid his tribute to Sir Colin Davis when I spoke to him earlier on today.
He was fantastically loyal and fantastically enabling for singers because of this amazing circular beat. He always talked about dragging the baton through, I think, golden syrup. It's a sort of, and round and round. It was never chopped up. It was always very fluid. It made you feel you had infinite breath and you could sing in a way you couldn't otherwise sing.
What was he like to rehearse with?
Generous, not fierce, I mean demanding, but I think very understanding of the sort of singerly psychology.
That was the tenor Ian Bostridge. We're going to be hearing more from him in a bit. In about half an hour's time he'll be singing Britain's Les Illuminations with the London Symphony Orchestra and Daniel Harding. Well, Daniel Harding then goes on to conduct the London Symphony Orchestra in Elgar's Second Symphony in the second half of the prom, stirring and elegiac, a grand hour-long work which contains, I think, some of Elgar's most wonderful orchestral writing and is really a work to look forward to. But they're beginning the programme with a composer who was very close to Sir Colin Davis's heart, Sir Michael Tippett. Now, Colin Davis gave the world premiere of The Mask of Time, Tippett's creation oratorio, in 1984, and it's from that that the very first piece, a short fanfare, comes. It's the fifth of Tippett's fanfares. He wrote five across his life. This one was arranged from The Mask of Time by Marion Bowen. And here's Daniel Harding to begin this evening's concert in tribute to Sir Colin Davis with a fanfare number five from The Mask of Time by Tippett. Thank you. a fantastically vivacious opening to the London Symphony Orchestra's concert tonight, paying tribute to the late Sir Colin Davis, who gave the world premiere of The Mask of Time by Sir Michael Tippett, from which that fanfare was arranged by Marion Bowen. 14 brass and 2 percussion of the London Symphony Orchestra now making their way off stage, leaving only the string players, and Daniel Harding conducting tonight. Slip backstage for just a moment before conducting the next piece on their programme, also by Tippett. Now, this work is the concerto for double string orchestra, the strings laid out on stage already. Tippett wrote this in 1939, took him over a year to write, completed it in the year that the Second World War broke out. He described the piece as a child he wanted to launch on the world. The concerto for double string orchestra is in 3 movements, allegro con brio, adagio cantabile, and allegro molto. And listen out for all sorts of musical illusions in it, everything from Beethoven to jazz and folk songs. And here's Daniel Harding now to conduct the strings of the London Symphony Orchestra in the concerto for double string orchestra from 1939 by Michael Tippett.